Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, coming back for another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. I welcome you. Happy Sunday to you. If you can't tell, I might sound a little bit under the weather. I was fighting a little bit of maybe a virus or an infection or something, a slight cold, but I feel better, just don't sound better. So anyway, I did figure out the issues with my audio, so this week it sounds much better. Glad to hear that. Hey, guess what? We're on to something new today. Today we're going to talk about the threshold of meaning. The threshold of meaning. So I'm going to start us off by getting you to imagine something, okay? Imagine that we're walking down a city street and looking down at the sidewalk, we see a tiny flower growing out of the little cracks in the concrete, right? I mean, these are the most inhospitable place in the world for life to be forming. And yet here it is, a little flower growing and producing life and beauty, right in the crack in the sidewalk. And so my question for you today is this flower meaningful? Is it meaningful? Now, some of us are going to say that it certainly defies the odds. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't put on the package to grow a flower saying, put it in a concrete crack, a seed in the concrete crack of a sidewalk. It defies the odds, you know, and there is no, for some people, there's no significance beyond just the random natural events that took place, right? So some people are going to look at the flower and just say, man, that thing sure beat the odds, but there's really nothing more to it. It's nothing more than a seed that landed in a crack that had enough dirt and water and sunlight, and as a result, here's the flower. Other people are going to interpret that flower as something more, maybe a message from God. Maybe it's a sign from the universe saying that you can thrive in the most difficult conditions. Now, what enables one person to see beyond or through the flower and into a more poetic or spiritual experience? What allows a person to do that? Is it habit? Is it a left-brained, right-brained thing? Is it an art or a science type thing? Is it faith or is it a God thing? Is it chance or fate, right? I mean, what makes a person come up with this stuff when they're looking at a flower growing in a crack? You see, certainly there are larger worldviews behind this, right? That's something that's obvious here. But I want us for this broadcast to go a little bit deeper. You see, at what point do we ascribe meaning to life events? I mean, okay, maybe you don't see the flower as meaningful. What about a motorist who just narrowly escapes death in a car accident? You know how those cars get mangled and the person somehow just walks away. Is there meaning there? What about the terminal disease that has an unexpected cure? Nobody thought they'd make it, and yet here they are. Is there meaning there? What about the barren womb that brings forth life? Is there meaning there? A newborn grasping our pinky. Is there meaning there? You see, it's at what point do we ascribe meaning? And so I sat there contemplating this, saying, is there a place where things are actually just meaningless? And I know that there are scientific people who would say that we live in a meaningless, random, chaotic universe. And as I contemplated this, I was not able to find a meaningless scenario. Maybe you can, but you see, at some point, we value a friendship, don't we? We value our loved ones. We mourn our losses. that just indicates that we have meaning there. I mean, if you lose your keys mean something to you. We want stuff. Our hearts and minds go after things. We have ambitions. Why do you have an ambition if there's no meaning? You see, and it's at those times we ascribe meaning to something, even if it's just to preserve our own life, right? I mean, why are you eating? Why do you take a drink? Because you want to preserve your life, because it satisfies you, right? That's where you have meaning. Somehow being alive means more than dying to you. To me too. And so the discussion then is not who ascribes meaning, such as the flower, right? I started off, is it somebody who does and somebody who doesn't? But the reality is that we all ascribe meaning to things. The issue is not who, the issue is the threshold required to ascribe meaning to something. See, the threshold is the level at which we determine the cause of that something. Is it meaningful or not? We find that what made it. The threshold is inversely proportional to our spiritual sensitivity. So if you have a high threshold for meaning, you have a low spiritual sensitivity. If you have a low threshold for meaning, you have a high threshold, a high sensitivity for spirituality. I'm sorry, did I get that right? High threshold for meaning, low sensitivity, no, low spiritual sensitivity. Low threshold for meaning, high spiritual sensitivity. Okay, got it? So I think the main reason that some people have a high threshold or low spiritual sensitivity when it comes to meaning is due to human suffering, right? These are the questions that cause people to leave churches. These are the questions that cause people to abandon religions. You know, and if we accept that there is meaning in that flower in the crack, there must be meaning then in the cigarette butt in the next crack. You know, if God delivers a person from one accident, then God is destroying another person in another accident. If the universe is opening up a womb, then it's tormenting another person by closing their womb. You see, and all of that just seems wrong. And so because of suffering, most people see suffering itself as meaningless. I mean, it's way easier to accept that shit happens than it is to accept that there is a purpose to all of our pain and suffering. I mean, this happens when our ego lacks the categories to appreciate the downward path of suffering. I mean, if we don't have the category for suffering, you're going to see it as all bad. And yes, suffering sucks, and it's everywhere. And our goal is in prayer is to alleviate that for people as much as possible and for ourselves. Nonetheless, it's there. Is it all bad? Is that the only framework we have? Is that the only category we have for suffering? You see, that's what happens. You know, we start to think that suffering looks like a detour to our life when it is actually the path to life. You see, meaning in the midst of suffering is precisely what spirituality is all about. Every spirituality you've ever found has been able to address this issue of suffering. And some do it better than others, certainly. Some denominations answer it differently, certainly. Traditions all vary. But the goal of spirituality is to get at these questions. Is there meaning to the suffering? You see, the difference between all of us is our threshold for meaning. Low threshold people see a cancer diagnosis as the impetus to live and to live deeply. High threshold people see the diagnosis as the death sentence. And I've been in the cancer field for almost 15 years, and I can tell you when the person receives that phone call, the worst phone call you and I ever want to hear, where they say, I'm sorry, it's cancer. For some, that day is the day they die. And for others, that day is the day they begin to really live. You see, we all access bits of this truth, and we access it in different ways. We all have different environments and experiences and all that. We all see the pattern of the universe. I mean, even the Lion King movie understood the circle of life, right? The pattern of the universe is something goes through a dying process and then it dies. And then there's a renewal. And that renewal produces life. And that life grows and thrives. And then that life goes through a dying process and then it dies. And then there's renewal. And it's the same whether you're talking about a plant or a person or a business or an organization or something else. Now, Christian theology calls this pattern the Christoform pattern, right? Because it kind of follows the pattern of the story of Christ. Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that dancing and mourning go together. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to put in the ground and a time to pull out of the ground. You see, these two things are linked together. And this is a vital point. But this is the analogy that is precisely the snag that trips some people up. It's what really ignites the low threshold person, and it really snags and grinds on a high threshold person. It's not that you're two different people. It's just you have two different places, two different settings here. You see, the ego says, if God is love and God is all powerful, then how in the world can suffering exist? And they easily conclude that if suffering exists, then God is either not love, or God is not powerful, or there's just no God. Or if there is a God, then he's an asshole. That's the conclusion that we come to. This is what the weight of this discussion is all about. But the Christ story says something different. It says that suffering is the centerpiece of true living, of your life, your true life. The Christ story says that the very best comes by way of the very worst. Human suffering, depicted as a man on a cross, is pointing to a God who designs and requires pain and loss if we are to awaken to a very new life. I mean, the story of Jesus being humiliated and spit upon and beaten and crushed and tortured and hung on a cross to die, naked and ashamed and humiliated and forgotten and rejected by his people. It's literally the most gruesome, horrible kind of death and experience that could be imagined. And now we call that Good Friday. Somehow the suffering turned into something really good. And so if this is true for suffering, if that is true, then suffering makes it possible to go through life. Let me rephrase that. Suffering makes it impossible to go through life and miss God. You see, if God can be in the suffering, and suffering is all around us, you've never gone a day and missed God. Suffering makes it also impossible to accept a childish concept of God. And it's sad, but we still have religious systems promoting these kinds of God pictures. Listen, these old frameworks have to go. God is bigger than the question, okay? The answer is bigger than the question. So suffering is connected here. Suffering is not the detour to life, it's the path to life. Suffering is how we discover a new framework for God. It's because God requires it of his own son. Thus, meaning is in suffering. Meaning, then, is in everything. Now, that's a bit of a pill to swallow if you're a high threshold person. right? Remember the flower at the beginning and the crack. If there, maybe that's easier to take in than this, that there's meaning in suffering. Maybe you can start with there's meaning in that flower. You see, enlightenment, or what most religion calls salvation, it's the waking up to the story that's behind the flower. It's also waking up to the story that's behind the cigarette butt in the crack next to the flower. It's the very definition of what it means to be sober-minded. You see, true suffering, then, is the skimming over or the sleeping through the meaning found in every crack of our life. Suffering is there so you don't miss God. And missing God is true suffering. Solomon put it this way. He said, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the way of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart." See, he got it. He got that there's a sober-mindedness here that comes to us from suffering. It's the ability to see beyond the flower. If you can see beyond the flower, you can look in the mirror and see a little bit beyond yourself. May we all wake up to the depth that is our precious suffering life.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.